The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I mean, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, we're putting them in the intro this week because they're almost beyond fixing at this point because they are rape defenders. It is inexcusable what they have done. And listening to them try to explain their way out of it makes me hate all famous people because they think that we are so fucking stupid. That they could get on Instagram and be like, we've worked our whole lives, blah, blah. Guess what? Doesn't matter, jackass. You wrote a greeting card for a serial rapist so he would get a shorter term, dick.
And like, no one forced you to do that. Like,
no.
There's all these excuses of like what all this stuff is. And it's like, no one, you didn't have to do that at all. And you chose to. And that's like there's no ifs, ands, or buts, as they say.
They had to know that someone somewhere was going to see these letters and release them, right?
Well, you know what I think? I bet you they never even saw the letters. I bet the legal team wrote it up for them and they were like, I'm not saying that they're innocent and that this isn't terrible, but why do I feel like they were like, yeah, we'll write a letter, like you write what you have to write, and like didn't think anything of it, and now they're in like an absolute maelstrom.
Oh, I'm so happy you used the word maelstrom. When I saw your face forming the M, I was like, please say maelstrom.
What other word applies here? It's maelstrom.
It really, truly is. Have you ever written one of those letters before,
by the way?
No, I wrote one once for someone who was going to prison for financial crimes. And many of us who were friends with him, but also friends with his spouse, wrote letters, you know, about what a wonderful husband and friend and all sorts of those things. And no guilt about doing it. And I think the letters actually worked in his case because he didn't serve for very long, but he also didn't make physical contact with anyone. That's like a whole
separate. It's like a victimless, it was like a victimless crime, I'm assuming.
I mean, are any crimes really victimless? I mean, I guess some of them are. What qualifies? Okay. You know who I'm going to ask. Hey, Siri. God, I hate you so much. Siri. What are some victimless crimes?
Okay. I found this on the web for what are some victimless crimes. Check it out.
Okay. Once again, Siri, I asked you what they were, not please bring me to someone else who knows what they are.
Yeah, like I could have just Googled this.
I am a one-step queen. I'm not going to the link that she sent. No, I ask a question. If you don't answer me, fuck you. I'll never know the answer. I'll die. Here we are again. Knowing the answer.
Like, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me. What? This is now 17 times we've done this. Shame on us. I'm sorry.
Well, fast forward to my lying about not touching the link because I did. And some victimless crimes are, I'm going to start with the most glamorous, prostitution.
correct. Everyone walks away happy.
Assisted suicide, which I thank God we're not doing video. I shouldn't be smiling when I say the words assisted suicide. Hey, like, guys, ooh, assisted suicide.
Yeah, like, and also
trespassing.
Like, I'm giving like a full, like, I Love Lucy to camera, like, oh, like, like, assisted suicide should not be the second thing on that list.
I don't think this has trespassing. I don't think trespassing is a victimless crime. I mean, that's like invasion of privacy. If someone's trespassing in my home, I am the victim, am I not?
Yeah, you are.
Recreational drug use. So I guess that means in that case, the victim, if the crime is self-inflicted, they would call it a victimless crime.
Got it.
Drug
got
possession.
It. Okay. Anyway.
Gambling. Right. Gambling. Public drunkenness. Public
that
nudity.
That's a crime. That's a victim.
It
full
depends
crime.
If the person's not hot, then it is a victimed crime. It's a victim full crime.
Yeah.
And last
regardless,
on the list
okay.
is the most glamorous of all, and that is homelessness.
I'm so nervous.
That is a
that there's a victim there. That's like, are you kidding me?
Did you say you were nervous at what I was going to say the crime was?
Yes. That's
no,
great.
I read this I actual list from something called lawinfo.com.
Well, that's why. that was that list. It's very bad. It's very bad. Everyone needs to take a page from these two. Anyone going to crisis, what you don't do. Like, the number one rule is, like, the same day this comes out, you don't put up a video where you defend yourself that you wrote in, like, a fury and, like, in true fight or flight mode and then try to act like that's, like, a good portrayal of, like, how you should, like, you know what I'm saying?
And that you are video obviously was, reading. Like, they were both yes. clearly reading from the same app as they were recording it into their phone. And, you know, I never thought much of the acting abilities of either of these two performers.
Slam.
I mean, they're Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, but I will say that
Slam.
In the role of themselves,
yeah,
half of one star, half a wormy apple, get the fuck out. You should be. I mean, if there was a Razzie for apologies, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis would get it.
And it would be, what is it? No contest. Like, it wouldn't even be, we wouldn't even need to have a voting. It would just be given
what would,
to them.
What would the Razzies for apologies, the Azzies, and the Azzy goes yeah. to Mila Kunis Kutcher. Do you think that's what her driver's license says, by the way?
Fuck. I didn't even think about that.
We got to find out. Hey, Siri, get me Mila Kunis's driver's license.
Stop it. Okay.
I found
it. It's, oh, God.
She sounds like Mary Poppins, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's that. She doesn't sound like Adele. We know that much.
Okay, that's a slam. I that's mean, like a callback, a slam.
They, everyone is losing their minds. And obviously the big elephant in the room is that the one of the victims of Danny Masterson has gone absolutely rogue and is putting all of their dirty laundry on her Instagram story. And it is so... I have, like, I'm literally, like, the big bad wolf, like, licking his lips, looking like the fucking Goldilocks. Like, I am, or, like, Little Red Riding Hood, whoever the fuck the big bad wolf eats. I'm licking my chops for, like, every story she posts.
I'm uncomfortable with how many times you said licking your chops. I want you to listen to that when you've edited it. It sounds salish.
But are you aware of this? Like, are you following this?
I don't
Instagram
know about
story?
This part about one of the victims going on to the Kunis Kutcher Instagram stories and demolishing them.
She is Danny Masterson's girlfriend that he was dating while they were doing That 70s Show. And she
oh, so she knows the Kunis Kutcher
is one
personally.
Of the victims that he was found not guilty in her case because they were dating. So now she's on a fucking warpath and is basically like, hey, Ashton Kutcher, remember when you found a dead body in 2001 and didn't call the police and called Danny? Dominic, it's wild. Really a long time ago where he was like picking this girl up from a date and
right.
allegedly saw through the window that she was murdered and then like ran away scared because he was like, oh my God, this person was just murdered. And like wow. testified in the trial, etc.
Now I remembered a little bit. He did testify in the trial of when he found a woman dead that he was supposed to go out with.
Wow. Yes.
Felony just follows Ashton Kutcher everywhere, so, doesn't it?
Homegirl is like, I will fucking sing like a canary. Like, don't you dare take another step.
Well, and now, bitch, just sing. Also, if you have a tune, sing it. I mean, you're just saying, like annoyed. Don't piss me off or I'll tell everyone you're evil. Like, say what he's done so he can pay for it.
I know. I'm annoyed by her. I want her to bring it out. And then basically, obviously, everyone is bringing up the fact that, like, Mila Kunis was 14 years old whenever she was filming That 70s Show. And, like,
right.
There's the interview on the Rosie O'Donnell show where basically he admits that him and Danny Masterson had, like, a bet of, like, who was going to kiss Mila Kunis first. And she was like, I'm a child. Like, and like,
wow.
It's really bad. They, from being, like, these like tech billionaires that they are now, that they don't act anymore and are just like funding companies. They went from like top of the world to like bottom of the heap in 60 seconds flat.
Hey Siri, what's the age difference with Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis?
Here's what I found from thenetline.com.
He's 6 years older than her. You can stop talking. I asked for a number and you're giving me a soliloquy. It's not even a sentence. It's two digits. Thank you. Six. One digit. So he was 20 and she was 14. That is
that's bad.
that's wide enough. You know how like sometimes you'll hear ages of it's like they're 18 and 17, you'll be like, all right,
and you're like, yes, like they're peers. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
20
yeah.
and 14 is that's adult child. They are the Celine and Renee of sitcoms.
First, how dare you?
Well, right. First also, Celine and Renee were
Celine
like
was like 12 and he was literally 45 years old.
Yes.
It's nowhere actually the same at all.
First, you how dared you? And then you're like, actually, it was worse with Celine.
Yeah,
you.
It was like exponentially worse. Yeah.
Based on their body language from the Instagram apology that they issued, a few observations. Mila Kunis runs that relationship with an 100%. Iron claw. Like, there's absolutely no doubt. Based on the way they were interacting during this apology video, my guess is that it was Ashton's idea to do this, because the way she was looking at him when it was his part to very poorly read his part of his half-hearted statement, she was giving him death stares. Like, she was like, I cannot believe you have put me in this position.
It's fucking wild. Like, they were like, they thought they were gone, baby, gone. They thought they were just on the top of the world. They had gotten their like venture capital money. They thought they were just gonna ride into the sunset, and now every single thing that they've ever done is now getting like scrutinized, and they are getting crucified, and
they're exposed. It's gonna I'm telling you it's gonna turn out that Ashton Kutcher killed JonBenet Ramsey. I'm telling Stop. You this is how the story ends. I'm not even joking about it.
It's gonna be, well, everyone, people are basically saying that he's like the second coming of the devil. Like, it's like, it's crazy the things that people are jumping to, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. I feel like we got to see someone who's been heavily like PR'd their whole life. We saw a glimpse behind the curtain of who they are in real life, that they're defending their friend who is like absolutely a rapist. You can't come back from that. Like, you can't come back from that.
The thing is, they don't really have to. Like, it becomes a little nebulous because they have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of their lives. If they want to appear like, and in an ensemble cast or something, no one's going to want to work with them now. Like, no. they are now associated with rape.
Yeah.
Why am I laughing at that? What is she like? Well, yeah, good skin, moderately talented, associated with rape. Like, this is now part of their personality.
And again, it's like, you didn't have to write this. Like, why do it?
But even Danny Masterson's family would have understood if Ashton and Mila were like, honestly, you have to understand we cannot give a rapist a character reference. Right, Mr. and Mrs. Masterson?
Well, the boards are saying that. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this so allegedly, it's not even funny. Allegedly,
I know what's coming and you're going to be killed.
that Scientology has something on Ashton Kutcher, and it might have to do with that murder that he found.
This is our last episode. I'm going to the airport. They're going to come after us, Chris.
We have to go in hiding. No, this is all over the internet. I'm not like breaking any story. Like, this is all over the internet.
So. Nope. Where are my valises? God, I love that word too. There's a real maelstrom regarding my valises.
I hate you.
I do too. I'm listening to my own voice and I'm like, I hate
you. I mean, we could unpack this for the next 3 hours, but we just simply can't. We don't have time. But
do you even see what you did there? I talked about my valises and you immediately said we could unpack this. Well, we certainly could. All right, let's talk about something a little lighter. Let's talk about Elon Musk and Grimes naming their children idiot names, like absolute idiot names. I know they're all born billionaires, these children, so it doesn't matter. Their name could literally be like feces pie literally. Grimes Musk. It would not matter. They'll still rule
it's,
the
that
world.
Would be better than what they are. Their names are like, well, P.S., you know that the son, with the first child, which I call Aeon Flux,
right,
is
right.
Like, just like how Wendy Williams calls Dua Lipa Dula Peep, I call AE72X, whatever the fuck it is, I call it Aeon Flux. But it's real. They call the child X. And so the fact that Twitter is now called X is like for the son.
Oh, I didn't know.
And then
know
apparently
that.
The daughter that they had is Exa, like EXA, which is insane.
And he also has a bunch of other children from previous liaisons.
That he like
does. He has adult children that
want nothing to do with him.
Yeah. So the child that was born recently, this most recently born child's name is Techno Mechanicus. Repeat.
She's trying to be
Techno
a Kardashian.
Mechanicus.
She's really pulling a Kardashian family where like they're not together, but they continue to have children with the same man so that all their children have the same father. And then like name them insane names. And like think that like it's cool or like that anyone gives a fuck.
Well, Grimes also sounds like a Gen Z way of saying grimy anyway. Like, hey, how was that motel? Ugh, it was toast.
Also,
Grimes.
You know that Grimes just eats buttered noodles every day, and like so much so that she was hospitalized and the doctor was like, please eat nutrients. And she was like, no, I must eat buttered noodles for every meal.
You know, it's rare that you say this about someone, but she deserved to be hospitalized then. And she should be put in a different hospital for people who have the mental illness that they only eat buttered noodles. It's fucking dumb. No wonder she's naming them all these names. Her brain is deleting itself.
It's literally like a bowl of spaghetti up there. Like, she is out of her mind.
She has carb brain. It's literally, it's just dough, her brain now.
It's dough. Yeah, it's like a pizza dough. Speaking of Italian food,
okay, I have
it's
no
time
idea. Oh,
for
shit.
Brittany Watch.
Oh, baby, so, baby. That's the theme song every week, by the way.
So you know that obviously Aaron Bagwell and I are texting every day about Britney. All we talk about is Britney. And
okay,
she was in Mexico, like out in the world in Mexico, which I am not okay with. She's
Why?
Gallivanting. At any moment, someone could just pull up with a van and just grab her and she'd be gone forever. And we can't handle that.
Well, first of all,
you know what I mean?
You can't even handle speaking about the possibility of it. I would be hosting this podcast alone if she was ever kidnapped. You would probably go down there to fucking find her.
Well, and she's just like out with like God knows who. I don't know if there's security guards with her. And she's just like good for her that she's just like having a time. But like it's clearly Britney Spears just like sitting at a table having dinner. And she's wearing sunglasses and like thinks that she's fooling people. And she's fooling absolutely no one.
Well, the most important question is, did she get tableside guac? When you saw,
I don't know, but now that she's leaving Mexico and is apparently going to Italy to get her meatballs. Little does she know that like they don't even really serve meatballs in Italy.
Get those sky miles, girl.
And so she is going there, but is posting videos of her dancing in her house. So does she just have like banked videos of her dancing in her house that she's just like, I know the people need me dancing in dish rags on top and child's panties on bottom. Like,
I'm going
to
say yes.
So like she just has those like at the ready to post whenever like all's quiet.
Here's the thing. I do believe that she does it like 14 hours a day. I think that's all she does.
It's her workout. It's like her calisthenics. You know what I mean?
And she just keeps hitting like on and off with the, whatever her recording device is, like every 10 minutes just to make like new snippets of it. That's probably what Sam Asghari did for the entire year and a half of their marriage.
Just video her dancing. The phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what else would he do?
By the way, just a quick correction. This Musk child's full name is Tau Techno Mechanicus.
Oh, I'm tau so glad that in, was cleared up.
As in the Greek letter Tau. That was also, I was in a fraternity in college. Did you know that? Tau Kappa Epsilon, also known
as
Teak. Of
course you were.
Hmm? I was a frotter in the bond.
How dare you say frotter? You're so disgusting. Excuse me?
Do not call your fraternity a frat. Would you call your country a cunt? I actually heard people say that unironically to me in college when I referred to fraternities as a frat.
Was this during your first marriage to a woman or your second marriage to a woman?
How dare you spill all of my beans to the entire world? No, I wasn't married when I was in college, but I had a girlfriend in college and while I was in a fraternity. I really tried that straight life. I really did.
Oh my God.
What?
Cher's Christmas album? Why? What the fuck have we been waiting for?
I don't know. I'm almost like, I was so excited when the cover art finally came out that I think I was like, I'm like post excited and I just need the will we call it an album now? Yeah. I just need the music to come out.
The playlist.
My review of the original cover art is that it looks like it was done by AI, damaged AI. I don't know what the hair is doing. I don't know. Is she wearing JNCO pants? I have no idea. I mean, you know, Cher is my favorite of all time. And I rarely will say, but like this photo, not good. Then there was later in the day, I don't know if they instantly heard our cries, but this also looked like it was generated by AI, but a good version.
Where
and
she's like
just
down an iceberg.
Live in a disco ball dress in Antarctica. And strangely, in a later piece of art, that in that same dress, standing next to Darlene Love, who is probably 3 feet shorter than her in that piece of art. Have you seen it?
No, but it's funny
it's hilarious.
There's not one like actual real like Christmassy thing about it. It's just like her like at the polar ice caps, like thinking that means like holiday when it's really just like, do you know what I mean? It's not like she's like at the North Pole like with Santa. Like she's just like simply at the polar ice cap, like on an expedition. Do you know what I mean?
She
like,
it's is like
missing
she is.
So many like, different ways. Like
I am the North Pole. Oh. Yeah. I am Christmas.
And obviously, like days before this drops, I sent you again my news source, Rebecca Bregman's news source, people.com's Instagram account that said like one of the hard-hitting stories was like Cher's secret to longevity, colon, like I wear jeans and have long hair.
Again,
I sent it to you and I said, this is what you're missing.
Where do you, they'll submit that for a Pulitzer, probably that story.
I know.
I do love that Cher's Christmas album that was just called Christmas.
What else do you want from her? Like she's given you what else do you want from her? She can't be bothered to like name the album.
I mean, I don't even know the way she talks about it. Cher is saying that it's like the best project she's ever done. Like that this is like her favorite music ever. So I don't even know. At first I was like, there aren't even any Christmas songs on it. I bet it's just going to be like
it's just gonna be
new shit. Like RuPaul's original Christmas album was, which was just like takes on Christmas songs. But she, once you trot out Darlene Love, it's like they're singing Baby Please Come Home on the album for sure. One of her duettists is Michael Bublé. So that's got to be like a real Christmas song as well.
All right. That gives me like, I feel safe hearing those people.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? Whereas like, remember Ariana Grande came out with an album called Christmas and Chill that was like, just not like I was like, can I hear one sleigh bell like in one of these songs? And it was like, absolutely not. You're gonna get like techno weird, like I'm gonna be absolutely crucified, by the way, for slamming this album, but like it's just not a Christmas album.
I haven't heard it.
It's you never will it. Because it's terrible.
If there's no sleigh bell on it, it doesn't really count as a Christmas album, though. I think
at all.
It has to have that for sure.
Yeah.
Just to even qualify.
Well, I mean, we could just shoot the shit all day and talk about Cher, but I feel like it's time to get to our guest. All right. Well, we have one of the hosts of basically our sister podcast here today. Her name is Margot Donahue. She's had an illustrious career, but right now she is a podcaster and her show is called What a Creep. Basically, for all the people that are like, do Kanye West, do this person, do, you know, when we say no, they're not fixable. We can't fix these people. Margot's 100% done an episode on about them on What a Creep. So if you're writing to me for the fifth time saying please do Kanye West, bop right on over to What a Creep, and I'm positive. Am I wrong?
No, he's on our list, definitely. His story, perfect. Like some of our creeps, their story is still going. So we get a lot of suggestions all the time, but sometimes they're not done creeping.
No, and is it safe to say that What a Creep is the home for the unfixable, perhaps? Because the fixable come here.
Well, you know, I would say that sometimes we say there's a path to redemption, so that's what I'm offering today, but a lot of our creeps are real fucking creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Again, if you're, you know, if you've for the fifth time told me to fix someone and I've ignored you or said, I can't do that, bop on over to What a Creep. I'm sure Margot would be happy to give you her thoughts.
Indeed.
Margot, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give us like the 30-second spiel? I feel like I did a good job of explaining your show, but give us the 30-second spiel about it.
Absolutely. So we are the podcast that talks about creeps from the past to the present. One of us talks about a creep, and then the other one, my co-host Sonia, comes up with somebody who's a non-creep. So you don't leave feeling completely desolate about the world. Like, it's not a total dumpster fire.
Well, that's
this
nice.
Week is special because we have Kristen Meinzer as my special guest because co-host Sonia is in Ireland and we will be talking about Ilaria Baldwin.
Oh, perfect. Wow, what a perfect.
Some of our faves. Kristen and Ilaria are faves around here.
Kristen Meinzer, I got lunch with her today. She's friend of the show. Love her to death. We'll be having her back on very soon. The best. She's the one that introduced us. And then obviously Hilaria Baldwin is like one of our, I mean, she's on the Mount Rushmore of like this show basically. So.
Right.
And married to a huge creep. And we did an episode on him. And then a week later, there was the shooting on the set. So we had to take the episode down. And then I was like, oh, this is going to change him. Right. He's going to be a nicer person. No. So he went back up again. Yeah.
Well, so all that to say, thank you for being with us. We're here.
We are here this week to fix one James Thomas Fallon, known colloquially as Jimmy Fallon, host of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. A Rolling Stone article came out a couple of days ago, basically equating the workplace at The Tonight Show as being an emotional war zone. There are good Jimmy days and bad Jimmy days. He has very erratic behavior. He likely has a substance abuse problem. And there are rooms at The Tonight Show that the staff would refer to as crying rooms. In my home, that is what I refer to literally every room in the
literally
house is a crying
excuse
room.
You Dominic,
I literally cry in almost every room almost every day. It's full. I am in full menopause where I just start crying for no reason for 30 seconds at a time 12 times a day and then move on as though nothing has happened. What does that have to do with James Thomas Fallon? Not a fucking thing. I just felt like talking about myself for about 15 seconds. Now that that's done, Margot, what are your general impressions? Current scandal notwithstanding, what are your general impressions of Jimmy Fallon?
He's 48 years old. He's too old for this shit, quite frankly. He's had that show for 9 years now. That is too fucking old to not know how to treat people. It's too old to not know how a show works. And it's too old to behave the way he behaves. He's this college frat kid douchebag. Sorry, not sorry.
Slam.
He's been using that as his humor for years, but he also uses it as a weapon against people. And I hope this is his come to Jesus moment because he really needs a shaking of the shoulders and somebody that's like, y'all got to get your stuff together right now because this is bullshit.
First of all, thank you for starting off with an absolute minefield, a series of character detonations. That was fantastic.
We're on so a one-way ticket to Slam City.
So not a fan, Margo?
No. My friend worked on his book that he co-wrote with his sister a long time ago. And I said, what was he like? He's like, he was okay, but his manager was a real schmuck. And I can kind of see, that the inkling of what's going to happen.
I mean, like everyone, I was first introduced to him on SNL in the late 90s and the early aughts. And I would always get very mad when I would see him on SNL because I'm a comic. And I would get so mad at him breaking character all the time. And I hated that it was some sort of... I hated that SNL treated it as some sort of charming addition to his personality.
I thought it was terrible. Yeah,
because there were so many people on that show, and I can't like list everyone in his era, but like classic people who would never do that, like trained performers, like sketch comedy performers who were really up to the task. When someone breaks on SNL, it's obviously a viral moment and very hilarious, but it was par for the course with him. Like he didn't, he was Jimmy Fallon in every sketch to me and just laughing about it. And so then when he was given the Tonight Show, I just thought, that life was meaningless. And I've been right so far because I can't watch more than 4 minutes of the show.
I'm not a fan. I never, like, there's that one sketch he did. You know, there's the beer pong thing with the celebrities. Like, Johnny Carson had this show. He was an asshole, but that was a classy show. Like, that was, you went there to promote stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's become a thing where let's get Nicole Kidman to do Jello shots. Whee! And it's all fake and phony, and it's just stunts. And I think it's just to mask that he's not that great of an interviewer.
The enthusiasm also, at the older he gets, the faker it reads to me. It just seems like he's playing a role. He's doing some sort of like real life version of Pee Wee Herman. And it's never been appealing to me, you know, where he's just like getting older and acting like a 4-year-old. But there's no elegance or actual humor in what he's doing like there was with Pee Wee. It's just he's a man acting like a toddler. God, I sound like such a snob, don't I? Good. That's the fucking brand. That's the
Dominic,
brand.
Dominic, you're not bitter at all. Like, at all.
It's funny you say that because I'm actually only bitter. I have no other feelings than that.
Dominic, I'm aware of that. I know.
Side of regret. Welcome to your 50s.
I actually went to the Tonight Show once on the day after my birthday, or the day before my birthday, to see Celine Dion perform on the show. And it was her first performance after her husband had died.
Did you hear that thunder? Did you hear that thunder?
No.
It was as you were just saying.
Is that Renee?
It's Renee Angelil. He's like
raining down on the show.
Margo, you weren't here during the intro, but Celine and Renee came up in the intro as well, and he was probably he's had it.
He's been conjured. He's been conjured since we spoke of him earlier. Now he's watching.
Take
over this
my name out of your mouths.
Yeah, he's like, you little bitch. He's like,
with a French accent.
I remember watching him interview her, and she's Celine Dion. I would jump in front of a bus for, and she's absolutely batshit insane and was so fucking funny, and he was so terrible at like interviewing her that I was like, this is so like, you don't even need to try, like this shouldn't be hard at all for you to do this, because she's out of her mind and on a runaway train with no brakes, like, do you know what I mean? And all you have to do is just like like facilitate that, which is easy. And
right.
He,
well,
like,
he has producers
so
to help him.
Terrible. So terrible at interviewing her. And then even like the person that came on after her was Alicia Vikander, the actress. And
yeah,
she's
Oscar
like,
winning actress.
Yes. Like, and who is not batshit crazy. And like, he was terrible at interviewing her. Like, it was just so. And I remember being like, I don't watch the show, but is this what people watch every day and say that it's good? Because it's not. Like, what the fuck am I watching?
It's not. I mean, it's not. It's sort of an industry joke that, like, every year the Academy, the Television Academy goes out of their way to not nominate The Tonight Show for Best Talk Variety Series. Like, they nominate everything else every year but The Tonight Show. They snobs like us. They do not like the show.
He seems very disinterested in the guest, which is like the first problem. and then he just mumbles. Like he's very like doesn't know what he wants to say. And I'm like, you've been doing this Dominic and I have been doing this for not even 6 months, maybe 6 months. And we have like a rhythm that we've like gotten into and we like know how to do this. Like you've been doing this for a decade. How do you not know how to interview a guest? It's crazy to me.
He has no curiosity. He has curiosity about people.
Yeah.
You can see that coming from him. He's so impressed with himself and how cute he is. And everyone's just always giving him an attaboy for being cute. And he plays guitar and he could do this impression and blah, blah, blah. He never looks like he actually cares about the person sitting in the chair. I mean, Letterman also had that problem. Like, well, you could tell when he hated somebody, but there was also, he seemed to have multiple interests, not just show business. He would never have an author on his show. He would never have a documentarian on his show. It's just always shtick. And, you know, they have producers set them up for these interviews. And these people are trained. By the time you're on The Tonight Show, you're a decent guest. You right. should be, at least.
When you're not,
it should not be that hard.
But you're also not, like, coming on the show, like, with nothing to say. Do you know what I mean? It's like, right. there's a reason that you're coming on the show. And, like, they've already scripted out basically the entire thing that you're talking about.
Can I go off topic for 1 minute? Because I just have to ask this. Chris.
Yes.
Do you really think you would jump in front of a bus for Celine Dion?
I love her so much.
Did you mean like if a bus was coming and she was in front of it, you would like push her out of the way?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was wondering if like if she just showed up at your door and was like, jump in front of this bus, that you would be like,
no,
yes,
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Throw yourself
do that,
in front but of like, the cute 22.
I'm just saying like, I love her. Like she's one of the very few celebrities that I like when she dies, I will be extremely upset.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot recently about hyperbole for some reason. And what I say all the time when I love someone, it's a terrible phrase, but I'm always like, I would take a bullet for this person. And I say, in conversation, I'll be like, you know, I love Cher. I would take a bullet for Cher. And then I stop for a second. I'm like, I actually would not. Like if someone walked into a 7-Eleven and Cher and I were the only customers in there, I would stand behind
Cher. Use her as a human shield. Yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely.
Do you
would.
Believe in life after love? I'm out the back door, baby.
Well, not even that, but like she would like, I mean, the bullet would just bounce right off of her at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like she's like.
There's nothing penetrating those cheekbones.
Yeah. That
also, if I stood behind a Cher, that's literally like putting a hoagie behind a toothpick. Like it wouldn't, she wouldn't protect me at all if I was back there.
No. Imagine Cher.
Anyway,
being,
back
wait, pause.
To James.
No, absolutely not. Back to Jimmy Fallon. Imagine Cher being in a 7-Eleven. Just imagine. Yeah. Just picture Cher being in a 7-Eleven. That's all.
Ice machine.
What should I? How should I? Let's make the joke better. I should have said an Air One, shouldn't I? But yeah, no one would even go into an Air One with a gun, would they?
She doesn't go to a grocery store. She doesn't know what a store is.
No. Cher hasn't had a full meal since 2006, actually.
No. Well, she broke up with someone this year. Maybe she has.
Oh, you think
maybe
that Cher...
Like ribs and ice cream and...
You have... No. Well, she does sell gelato now. Maybe that's why she opened the gelato truck.
She had her heart broken. Yeah.
I'm so sad to be single. I'm going to eat dairy for the first time.
I believe in life after love. Slurp, slurp.
Yeah. Okay, again, like, would just make a reality show about Cher. Just, I mean, a perfect reality show is just Cher going into any establishment, period, done, anyway.
Anywhere.
Moving right along. Mm-hmm. Back to Jimmy.
So Jimmy is not, this is not the first scandal to touch Jimmy Fallon. Do you remember a couple of years ago, people got very mad at him because Donald Trump appeared on The Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah.
And rather than ask him even like one serious question, Jimmy played with Donald Trump's hair. So there was a lot of animosity about that. Even earlier than that, and I'm getting my information this week from this week's sponsor of Fixing Famous People, which is Newsweek.com. They've sent over bags of cash for us to say, because that's how advertising works.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah.
It's done in actual sacks, like you see at cartoon banks, like the emoji money sack. I'm just not going to stop, am I? In 2014, Jimmy was allegedly involved in a bar fight while hanging out with friends in New York City. He did not suffer any injuries, but this was the first time when people were like, Jimmy has a drinking problem, and this is not the first time that he's been in fights before.
Well, didn't he also hurt his finger, right?
Yes.
Or his hand, his ring finger?
When I like went to the Tonight Show, that had like just happened. And they had to like sew his finger back on, basically. And when between like the interview and then like the performance, the musical performance, he comes out into the audience and actually talks to the guests, like to the audience. Like he's like, who has questions? And then he like, I of course raised my hand and asked the question. Like, you know, people were, he really did like come out and entertain the audience while we were waiting for like Celine Dion to like warm up. And one of the first questions was like, is your finger okay? And he was like, yeah, it's better now. And then he like explained what had happened. And it was like, because he was like fucking wasted in his house and like fell down in the kitchen and like hit his hand like on the thing and his ring like basically like lacerated his hand off of his or his finger off his
hand. That's like a Stephen
like,
King level.
Like hurting
bad.
Yourself that badly in your own home because you're wasted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but that's a, but you know, if we're fixing him, because I just took a shit all over him. So let me just say like from a loving space, I want to say like, if he has an issue, now's the good time to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And get some help.
Promises Malibu, baby. This is the time to just diss a fucking peer.
Yeah, because the strike is happening. And I think it's great that he's one of the straight white guys, middle-aged white guys that's, you know, done a podcast to help support his staff, the Strike Force 5. But I mean, and I've actually been enjoying listening to that, but he's the least interesting one. He's the least funny one. He's the least, you know, asked the least amount of questions. And I don't remember any funny joke he said. John Oliver like cracked me up the whole time. And they're very droll, but he doesn't have that in him. That was a good
time. Not him. But that's why the Academy never nominates that show, because it's literally like putting like a cartoon up against Succession. You know, it's not, he just doesn't belong with the rest of them. I have not listened to that Strike Force 5 though, but now I will, just to hate
it was
him.
Interesting because in episode 2 they were all talking about their staffs and like how big of a staff they have and how many people they're trying to take care of. The whole purpose they're there is to help cover these people, their mortgage and, you know, food, things like that. And Jimmy had no idea how many people worked for him. And then this comes out like 2 days later. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. He outsources that. You know, we've all had bosses that are like that, right? Like they just like 100%. Outsource their job to other people and they take credit.
Okay. Well,
there are shades of Ellen there in that aspect of it.
Oh, yes. You know? We did an episode about her, by the way. And Rosie.
We did too. And Rosie. Oh, wow.
Yeah. There are principals in talk shows.
Sorry to stop us, but, and Margot, I'm sorry that you're here for this, but Dominic, you keep saying the word literally, and I don't know why. Because on this podcast,
I am so sorry. And I say the word so much.
Say that word.
It's so bizarre.
Everybody says that. That's the problem.
So I don't know what's wrong.
It is.
I don't know if you don't want to be a part of this podcast. Like, I just don't know what's going on.
Let me just, if you guys don't mind, just giving me the floor for a minute. Listeners, if I have offended anybody in the past 15 minutes by using the word literally instead of the word clitorally, I want you to know that I would never make this mistake consciously. I believe in treating everyone equally, and I am clitorally the sorriest person you've ever seen right now. Let's move on.
And that, my friends, is an apology, which is what Jimmy Fallon should do to his staff.
Listen up, Kunis Coochers.
Oh my God.
Slam. There was a pre-COVID scandal as well where an old SNL sketch that Jimmy Fallon did where he wore blackface and impersonated Chris Rock was resurfaced. And it just, I mean, I don't really think it moved the needle on him either way, because it was sort of like Jimmy Fallon doing blackface, I would be expected, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially
I'm not
during that time. Yeah. It didn't move the needle for me either way. And I don't think it did. I don't think he was tarnished at all. He released
a
statement
too. I think that was also at the time when like everyone that was doing like things like that was being like revealed. So it's like, that was just like a drop right. in the bucket of like everything.
And Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman, yeah. there were a bunch of people that did it. That shouldn't. I was shocked because, you know, growing up in the 80s, like we were taught back blackface is bad. And how all of a sudden the 2000s, people didn't seem to have a problem with it or didn't seem to understand like why that's a problem. But
Jimmy said in 2000, while on SNL, I made a terrible decision to do an impersonation of Chris Rock while in blackface. There is no excuse for this. I am very sorry for making this unquestionably offensive decision and thank all of you for holding me accountable. Well, okay. I have to give him at least an A minus.
Yeah,
for
no,
that.
That's an apology. And he hasn't sure. done it since.
No.
And also that's
that we know of. That we know of.
That we know of. But that's a whole Lorne Michaels of it all too. Yeah, we can true. Blame Lorne Michaels for a lot of this mess because he's pushed that guy along.
Well, he hasn't done it since. Can you imagine if he did do it one more time? He's like, I just can't help it. I have to wear blackface.
Broken finger, all drunk. I believe in life after love.
In his own crying room, like dressed as Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction, going, someone please help me, please.
I mean, what else is there to say about Jimmy Fallon? It's like, I want to hear, like, what, do we know what the egregious things are? Or is this, again, like an Ellen
sure
situation
do.
Where
we
it's
sure
like,
do.
Okay.
Now I'm quoting, well, these quotes are from the Rolling Stone article. I won't say what site I'm reading those quotes from because it may or may not be Fox News because some they had less ads and Us Weekly. I cannot keep scrolling through all of your fucking bullshit. This is why people.com is killing Us Weekly. This week's podcast sponsored, of course, by Us Weekly. So yeah. one former employee said, it's a bummer because this was my dream job. Writing for late night is a lot of people's dream jobs. They're coming into this and it becomes a nightmare very quickly. It's sad that it's like that, especially knowing it doesn't have to be that way. The source said the behind-the-scenes environment would be described as ugly, with Fallon displaying erratic behavior that led to constant shakeups in the show's leadership teams. Apparently, they interviewed a good chunk of former employees, and there were some producers of the show that did come out and defend him. But it took like a good 36 hours for them to get a team together to be like, hi, I was an associate producer on one segment that had Bill Nye the Science Guy on it. And Jimmy Fallon was nice to everyone there. He ate a bagel. It was great. Like they had a very hard time assembling like a defense.
They had 30 people. The reporter reached out to 30 people that did not get back. 30 people would not go on the record to say just what you just said, something banal. Like, I had a good time, and this is what you say. We've all been through shitty jobs. Well, I learned a lot. You know, it was hard work, but I learned a lot, and then you move on to the next thing, whatever. There's none of that. Like, what is he doing? Like, this, and like you said, he's criticizing their jokes, like, in front of people. He's being insulting, and it's just like, it's not okay.
I will say I wish that the article had a few more specifics. There were a lot of generalizations like former employees were, we were belittled and intimidated. Jimmy Fallon had outbursts that were unexpected and inconsistent. I want to, you know, like, I want to know what words he screamed at people. That's what I want to know. Who did he call the C word in that office? Who did he call the C word?
I want the what was Lizzo's like dance captain's name? What was her fucking name? Shirlene Squiggly or Quigley Squiggly? Like Shirley, I need the Shirlene Squiggly like quotes. You know what I'm saying? Like I need
the Tom Cruise recording. Like when Tom Cruise lost his shit on the movie set and lost his goddamn mind. That's what I want.
I need someone to say, I saw Jimmy Fallon get inebriated on Long Island iced teas at the Tonight Show holiday party, walk out of 30 Rock, and murder a homeless person. That's what I want to see.
By the Christmas tree.
Yeah. He stabbed a homeless person with a nutcracker.
That's what we need.
Margo, you said this earlier, but like, guess what? A lot of these stories about this kind of stuff, it does all lead back to Lorne Michaels. If you think about it, like SNL, everyone says is like absolutely fucking brutal. Like, it is the hardest job ever. Like, no one knows how Keenan is still alive because he's been doing it for like 90 million years. Like, they're like, I don't know how he's a person still. They have all said that it's like the hardest job you could ever have, that you never sleep. You're like always just, it's backbreaking. Then I read the 30 Rock book that was like the that expose on 30 Rock. And all of the writers were like, we would write all day long, just right through lunch. Like, we would just work so hard that we would then go back to Tina's house, sit in her living room while she like put her daughter down to sleep, and like would write until 3 o'clock in the morning, where we would like fall asleep on her couches, all go home, take showers, and then go back to work. Like, nights would end at 4 o'clock in the morning, like regularly. Because that's how much they worked. They worked them. And then more recently, think about the other two that was like canceled in that weird way where it was like the creators were horrible to everyone. And it was Chris Kelly, who was like the head writer of SNL for like a million years. Someone made a joke about like, oh, well, Lorne Michaels doesn't like make anyone that's not a monster or something like that. It's like there is something in the water there where they learn to just like overwork everyone and like just treat everyone like fucking garbage. Because like how many shows run by people that have like been anointed by Lorne Michaels have just like had this exact same thing come out about them?
He owns all them. He owns their show. He literally owns them. Like, any ideas they have, they have to go by him first. He's usually a producer on all of their things. His whole tactic, I know a lot about Lorne Michaels because I know people who've worked at SNL and I've read a lot about it. His whole move is that he'll make a meeting with you and let's meet at 3 o'clock in my office, and he'll make you wait for 3 or 4 hours before he'll see you. And there's no apology, nothing.
I cannot. Yeah. What is he, the DMV? No. Like, this is, that is appalling behavior. He's my dentist.
I would pay $7,000 to be in that office when Dominic eventually walks in and just goes like this to him.
Literally,
I wouldn't walk in that office. I would kick the door in at 3:12 if the meeting was at 3, and I would just say, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And then I would spin on heels and walk out. And I would pray they try to stop me so I could just pound my fist into the elevator button and get on it like Miranda Priestley.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a fun environment. They're under a tremendous amount of pressure. And that's just like, I don't know what he did even before Saturday Night Live. I guess he was a stand-up comic. I didn't hear any of his stuff before that. But that's what he learns from. So maybe that's all he knows and he doesn't know to behave better. I don't know.
I defended Ellen slightly when we talked about accusations against her as well, because those, you know, any sort of talk show, any piece of entertainment of in that genre that's putting out hundreds of hours of television a year, it is a grind. I mean, to have to seem current and fun and fresh every day, you couldn't have a staff big enough. That's why those staffs are so big, because you couldn't just have like one supervising producer that's supervising every episode. There's just too many guests. There's too many bits. And it's a very, very giant machine. And so a lot of there are dozens of people working at shows like this that the host is just not aware even exist. I give that a little bit of a pass because there's almost no way that anyone could even let the host interact with every below the line person at a show of this magnitude. But when you do have people from every level of the call sheet coming forward and saying someone's a nightmare, that's when you sort of have to be concerned.
Do we think he comes back to the show? Is the show still on right now? No. Right?
No.
Is it still on? No. It's stopped.
No. Because he can't without writers. And he supports the writers. You're right.
He truly can't without writers. You're right.
No, I'd like to think in this downtime, he'll get some help, and then maybe there'll be some systems in place. Like you said, like there's a hotline number people can call if they're having a problem. If they, he just needs to be more engaged with the people who work there.
Well, I'm saying, do you think when this ends, does he come back to the show? Or do you think?
Oh yeah.
Or do
NBC
you think they bring it to someone else?
Yeah, he makes money.
Do you think that I will hear a commercial on 1010 Wins tomorrow morning that says, "Were you a victim of Jimmy Fallon's erratic behavior? Come to our offices and have Megyn Kelly smack some adulthood into you, you dumb bitch."
Am I in a cab in 2000?
Honestly, That, Margot, you have just nailed my entire brand. Honestly, I am literally, I am a cab.
Dominic Cupa.
I am literally a taxi cab from the year 2000. I am the level of entertainment you heard in the back of a cab. And that is why I keep talking about my comedy shows on this podcast. And everyone listening to it is like, is he a comedian?
Right. I actually miss 1010 Wins in the Cab. I hate those screens that they had, and they would have like one program. Because I live in Brooklyn. It takes forever to get home.
Dominic still listens to 1010 Wins like every day.
Every day I listen to 1010 because they're now on 92.3 where K-Rock used to be in New York. They're now where the 1010 Wins on 92.3 FM because now they're an FM station.
I don't even know if any of my radios work.
I listen on the Odyssey app on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Also
is Odyssey paying? Are they paying for a slice of this week's pie? Thank you, Odyssey.
Yes.
Is our podcast on Odyssey?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a great, well, I mean, it's 1010
Wins. Oh, I like
it's
Odyssey.
A great app to listen to 1010 Wins on. They should be a sponsor.
We talked about 1010 Wins.
That's a way to get to 1010 Wins.
That said, do we think it's time to do some pitching?
Sure. I think so. Now, Margo, as you know, we will both pitch ideas. You will give us feedback if you would like. You can weigh in.
Love it.
And then at the end of this, you decide who you think is the winner, whose pitch should be sent to Jimmy Fallon.
Love it.
Jimmy Fallon, you're never nominated for an Emmy. You are horrible at your job. And you make way too much money. And someone way younger could be bringing in a better audience for your show. And you know that. So what you're going to do is you are going to do what every late night person that gets booted off should do. And you are going to take the best part of your show, which was the Wheel of Musical Impressions. You are going to leave the Tonight Show. You are going to let them, and you're going to say, I should leave. Let NBC fill your spot with someone else. Like, do it amicably so you're in good favor with NBC when they give you the Wheel of Musical Impressions, a new game show on NBC primetime Thursday nights. What it is it is going to be celebrities, real people, people off the street, like someone's grandma, a drag queen, like a comedian, an influencer, all doing the game become so famous on the Tonight Show, which is the Wheel of Musical Impressions, where you pick a song, it's like a lullaby or like a nursery rhyme, and you sing it as if a celebrity or a singer would sing it. And it's basically, Ariana Grande did Celine Dion on this game, which then made Celine Dion very upset. And then she ended up making fun of, Ariana Grande whenever she did it. And she, when I watched Celine Dion do this game, she was singing Hush Little Baby, Don't Say a Word, but as Sia. And at a certain point, she turned to the band and gave them a wink, and they started playing Chandelier. And she started singing the words to Hush Little Baby to the tune of Chandelier. And it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life, and one of the most impressive things vocally I've ever seen. Things like that are happening every day on the show.
I feel like your
pitch Bob the Drag Queen's coming on to do a Whitney Houston. Like, Jane Lynch is coming on to do Britney Spears. Britney Spears is coming on to do Britney Spears.
I like that you're using
Christina
Aguilera
is coming on to do Britney Spears.
To save Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. All kinds of celebrities can show up, like fun people in the press, like viral TikTokers can come on and do this same game. And there could be a competition element where it's three people. They all have to do an impression. Someone gets eliminated. The next person comes up. Then someone gets eliminated. That kind of a thing. But he basically goes to a game show, and it's very funny, and it's the best part of his version of The Tonight Show. That is what I think he should do. I think it wipes the slate clean because I don't think – Ellen did not come back from this. Many other people did not come back from this, and I don't think he's going to do it either. And that is my pitch.
Okay.
Interesting. Jimmy Fallon. You have a job that is the envy of literally anyone.
Literally.
Dominant.
Jimmy Fallon, You have a job that is the end of
no, I'm so sorry.
Everyone.
I have to stop you. I have to. What is happening?
It's
Are
all
you
falling
okay?
apart.
I even heard it.
It's all falling apart.
I'm concerned.
The whole podcast is falling apart.
Our fans are going to be writing in left, right, and center. Concerned
they're
going to
cross the
picket
line.
That you're not.
They
well.
Are literally. They're going to. Do you think people will pick up the podcast because I can't say literally?
They are going to be nervous. They're going to be concerned.
I forgot to tell That's you all. That a listener said to me last week they want me to address the amount of times that you say.
Here we go.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's another one. That's another one that everyone always says.
I never, on my mother, I never noticed it until he brought it up, and now it's all I hear. And I never, never noticed it.
It's
Jimmy Fallon.
I use that as a way to like make people react whenever they're not reacting.
Got it. Kind of feel, Margot, that my pitch has been deliberately derailed by my opponent, and I would like that weighed into your decision as I begin it. James Thomas Fallon, you literally have
thank you
the most enviable job in show, but you are the host of the fucking Tonight Show. I mean, has anyone met Johnny Carson's mantle? Absolutely not. The show has not met that either. The show with each successive host has become less cool, less funny, and you have just taken it to new heights where like it's sort of like a sanitized adult cartoon hosted by someone who is apparently now mean. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to kick this genre in the testicles because all of these straight white men late night network shows let's take this format and make it adult. The old Tonight Show, they used to literally smoke and drink on the show. Yeah. Rule number one, bring it back. Rule number two, move the Tonight Show to Peacock or somewhere else where we can swear. And if Jimmy Fallon's an asshole, let him be a little bit of an asshole. Let him have a scotch before the show and be like, Nicole Kidman, you're going to do these fucking jello shots or what? Like, make it an adult version of The Tonight Show, which we have not had since Johnny Carson stepped down. Lean into being the asshole. Make fun of this article. Have a character on The Tonight Show who's covered in padding, who you beat on the show every night with a paddle. Just tell a joke about it being a bad place to work while also making it a non-toxic place to work. And that should also, and I'm sure this is part of Chris's pitch as well, like obviously fix yourself, like fix your workplace. Don't make people say they have to commit suicide, even though I think that was a bit of an exaggeration. Don't let anyone have a crying room at your office. Just take more charge of it and don't run and hide. You can only go up from here, Jimmy Fallon. You have an established brand. You've tried to ruin it, but still people watch it. Get yourself nominated for that Emmy. Move the whole fucking thing to Peacock. Please stay dressed nicely, but have a scotch before you come out every night.
Oh, move it to Peacock.
And that is my
really
pitch.
Good.
Move it to Peacock or anywhere That's where he could, where if Dominic. It's, if you're paying for it, they can do whatever they want on that show. And that's, I mean, my biggest problem with the product itself, I'm sort of weaving that into fixing Jimmy Fallon. Like fixing Jimmy Fallon is just sort of like a standard HR video. Don't make people fucking cry at work. I don't think he's hit somebody, but that's an important part of it. But I feel like it's because he's not suited for the show they're giving him to. He's probably in a bad fucking mood at work every day. Make it again an adult version of The Tonight Show. You know what's legal in New York State? Smoking weed. Do you know where The Tonight Show is filmed? New York State. Just smoke that on set, for fuck's sake. If they won't let you shoot it in 30 Rock, go on the roof. Shoot the fucking thing up there.
Move it to Peacock is like, that's wow. Wow, wee, wee, wow, as they say.
That's in the A block for me for this article. Is move it for this pitch. It's move it to
Wowie.
Peacock. Wee, and wow. This is literally the end of my pitch. Margot, the floor is yours.
I've I like both of those ideas. I think I'm going to have to go with you, Dominic. I think that's a...
Deserved. Well deserved.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, think of yourself as a character like Larry Sanders. You know, exaggerate certain parts of your personality. Yes. And then just have that be on camera and be in on that joke.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Then you're not miserable. Then you're not faking being a nice guy. And then you're not, you know what I mean? And then you put your energy into that. And then you're going to be, they're going to release some of that tension. And you're going to be a more decent human being. And it doesn't have to be that hard. And I love this idea of like a live version of, for on Peacock. Maybe they just do it live like every day and have like a cocktail hour or something. And that's another thing you could do. But definitely like create a Jimmy character, a Fallon character that's a little more edgy and a little bit more, like I said, a Larry Sanders type. And that would be what I would do. But
also like the old Colbert, like the Comedy Central Colbert, like along those lines, you know?
Yeah.
That is such a brilliant idea. The only problem with it, I hope he would be talented to pull that off and not laugh as
well. Can he act?
That's the concern. Not for nothing. Pull a Dean Martin and just be like straight up blackout drunk the whole time. Do you know what I mean? Like, remember those old, like when Dean Martin would be like hosting like a variety show and they were like, he was truly obliterated the whole time. Like he didn't even know what his lines were.
Right. And Hollywood Squares, I used to watch when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hollywood Squares, they were all trashed when they did that show, but it was hilarious. And I laughed because I was just a little kid. My parents thought it was hilarious to watch, Brett Summers and people, Joan Rivers being toasted. And
I mean, talking. I love when I catch an old Match game and I can clearly see that Charles Nelson Reilly's been drinking for probably 6 hours.
That is my crack.
It's real. I mean, they would talk all the time about the old Hollywood Squares and Match game, but they would tape many episodes in a day and they were fucked up by the end of the day. And you could see it. You could see in the delivery from some of these people and just what a good time. Now I'm waiting for someone to write in that people were being like drunkenly beaten backstage.
They were like sexually assaulting women on stage. Like, do you know what I mean? Like
it was on camera. So everything was fine.
It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Like it was bad. Like it wasn't great, but all that aside,
Chris, your mom wasn't even born when these shows were coming out. Come on.
Remember when David Letterman was like, was it Jennifer Aniston that he was like forcing her to kiss him? Like, do you know what I mean? Like there's been sexual assault on these shows. Like it's not a secret. And that's not an excuse. That's just simply a fact.
He was sleeping with his assistants.
Right.
Like those are the people that got breaks on his show. But the only break they got was like just to the bread.
Wait, you know what we didn't even bring up, Dominic? And this is my fault. Remember when Nicole Kidman went on the Tonight Show and she was like, remember when we hung out once? And he was like, no. And she was like, yeah, I came to your apartment and like wanted to meet you and like go on a date. And instead you were like playing video games with your friends and like didn't give me the time of day. And then like the next week I met Keith Urban and he was literally, excuse me. Oh my God. No, I did it. And he clitorally was just like looking into the camera with his eyes like glazed over, like, what?
Wow.
Do you remember that?
I vaguely, yeah.
So he sure is an asshole. Even that. Nicole Kidman couldn't get his attention. You know? Well, he was mean to her.
Maybe our queen. One of us. Maybe he just.
Our AMC queen.
Nicole Kidman. Well, if he doesn't notice when Nicole Kidman walks in a room, maybe he was waiting for Keith Urban to walk in a room.
How dare he?
Also, looks so much like Meg Ryan, he would probably ignore her.
He thought it was Meg Ryan as well. He would think he was Meg Ryan. Yeah. That was that's one of the funniest jokes you've ever said on this show.
He always reminds me of Meg Ryan. I don't know why. Well, because he looks like Meg Ryan.
They look alike. That's why.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can talk about Meg Ryan.
They have the shiniest skin. Yes. Nicole Kidman and Keith, they have the shiniest goddamn skin. I'm so jealous. They look so dewy. We love her.
I think that she moisturizes every 4 to 7 minutes. It's pretty known. If you sometimes you catch her at an award show,
baby's blood or something.
Someone is paid to do that for her.
Yeah.
100%.
To touch her face. So you don't think she's even touched her face in the past?
No, she's just someone's coming around and slathering her with something.
They brush her teeth as well.
I do love the word slather.
I mean, she doesn't know how to work her hands. Remember whenever she was clapping like this with her hands up? Like, yeah. Because she like couldn't clap? Yeah.
Well, because anyway. She was created in a lab with some seal DNA. Yeah, that's why her skin's also so shiny and smooth.
Because it's like blubber. It's like...
Well, I'm doing a victory lap right now. Margot, thank you very much for the gift of a win.
Yeah,
the gap is widening.
Listen, a much deserved win for you, Dominic. You deserved every single
point. No, that was great. You earned it.
I appreciate that. Thank you both.
Margot, again, tell people where they can find you. Where can they find your podcast?
Thank you. So it's What a Creep Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find me. I'm going to dead name it. It's Twitter. It's not X. At Brooklyn Margot. And all of my other social media, it's Brooklyn Fit Chick, and I'm at Margot Donahue on TikTok. So please follow me and let me know that you listen to the show.
I mean,
thank you so much.
That's the funniest joke of the hour right there, just because 100%. I mean, in case you, I mean, Elon Musk is at war with one of his kids who is trans. That is,
I know,
fantastic, Margot. Yeah, thank I feel you. Like you should win this week for that joke, even though it was
brava.
Not related.
Brava.
We I'm taking a victory lap in my apartment when we're done.
You should be.
Turning on my air conditioning.
Dominic, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me at my website, which is dominterry.com, or on all the socials at Dominic Pupa. Chris, before we leave, one quick question. Where can the people who listen to this podcast find your ass?
So dumb. You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Leave a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. I wish you both well, very much so. And as always, where's Shelly? Goodbye.